we're online now. Okay. Okay, how many people know what this is? Yeah, it's a magnifying glass, right? We've all played with magnifying glasses, right? Some of us done things with magnifying glasses we shouldn't have done, you know. I think I've heard of some fires being set with them. But this is a magnifying glass. Some things are interesting when they're magnified, you know. Some things just should not be magnified at all. But what kind of things should we magnify in our lives? I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know, when you magnify something, you make it big. And I thought, you know, what are some of the things that I make big in my life? Football. Ron was telling us the other day that he liked baseball. He says, no, don't mention my name. He's sitting there, no, don't. Friends. We make friends pretty big in our lives sometimes. What about work? We make work big things sometimes. What about relationships? These are some things that we choose to make big in our lives sometimes. But you know, I'm thinking that God has some other things in mind for us, especially when he talks about magnifying. Now lately, we have spent a lot of time talking about prayer. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know, it seems to me, just from my general observation, that we are drawing closer to each other with each passing day. And it seems as though some of you are drawing closer to God. I hope you are. And prayer is one of the avenues in which we draw closer to God. Well, as I got to thinking about this, I thought, you know, wouldn't it just be really something different if Jesus would have come forward this morning to lead the opening prayer instead of Brian? Not to say that Brian didn't do a good job, but can you imagine such a thing? Can you rewind your mental tape here about 15 minutes or so ago, and instead of Brian get up, Jesus, you know, you've seen pictures of him with the beard and all that. Jesus, if he would have got up and led a prayer for us, what kind of things could he possibly say? I got to thinking about that this week, and I thought, hey, that's a good thing to think about. Well, you know, what about the Lord's Prayer? That could be a place where we could find out what Jesus would say about us, huh? Might be. I'm not talking about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We've labeled that the Lord's Prayer, but that was how the Lord told us to pray. John chapter 17 is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in Scripture. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like to read that this morning. But I want to draw attention to verse 13 before we read the chapter. In verse 13, Jesus kind of indicates that he knows that his disciples are listening. And you know, sometimes we hear prayers, and the prayers seem to be, instead of just something to God, they seem to be a preaching a sermon, you know, by prayers. You know, we've all heard that, and we've probably all done it to a certain extent, wanting to encourage someone else. Well, Jesus here, he prays, and he knows his disciples are listening. And he prays like this. John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you have gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given to me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, and I love them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. That's a pretty long prayer, and there's a whole lot in there. I want to try to share with you some of the things that I've seen in this prayer, and I don't think the list is all conclusive, so you may have some things in your heart that you'd like to add to that. But let's look at the fact that God is being magnified in Jesus' prayer. If you miss the whole sermon, you've got it right here in one point. Jesus wants God to be magnified in his life and in our life. So in this prayer, Jesus prays for about six things, and I want to mention them to you. First of all, he prays that God would be glorified. The word glorify here means to ascribe glory and honor, to celebrate, to recognize him for who and what he is, to celebrate him with praise, worship, and admiration. But the best word in the Greek here that really gets the meaning across is the word magnify. To make God big in his life. Jesus was praying, God, I'm trying my best here to make you big in my life. And I think, you know, if he got up here to pray for us today, he would be praying that God would be magnified in our lives as well. So we ask ourselves today, are we magnifying God by the things we're doing in our lives? Everything we do either magnifies God, or have you ever taken a set of binoculars and turned them around backwards? It makes everybody real small. I worked on that. Real small. Everything we do makes God big or makes God small. So here Jesus prays that God would be glorified, he would be magnified in his life. with glorification in mind, Jesus prays that God would be glorified through the fulfillment of his mission, verses 2 and 3. Jesus mentions, on behalf of his disciples, the idea of eternal life. And you know, if Jesus come forward to pray here this morning, I would say, based on this prayer, that he would be praying for us and our eternal life. He would want us to remember that eternal life was purchased at a price. The atoning sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross is what provided redemption for mankind. And he would be praying that we would remember that. Also, in verse 4, Jesus prays that God would be glorified through his obedience. Oh, Jesus was obedient to God. The idea is that Jesus was willingly submissive. The idea that Jesus was not any less than God, but he placed himself in submission to God, and he was obedient to God. God sent Jesus here to do a mission, to do a work. And Jesus said, "Father, may you be glorified through my work, through my obedience to you." Well, you know what? That communicates to us too, doesn't it? We want God to be glorified by the things that we do, especially our obedience. And we choose every day. Ron was talking in class this morning about breaking the laws and, you know, why are some reasons why we break the laws? Well, I just didn't know the law, ignorance of the law, or I knew it and I was just in a hurry or something like that. And God wants you to be reminded, Jesus wants you to be reminded here that being obedient to God is part of the glorification of God in that process. And in verse 6, Jesus prays that God would be glorified through his work. He said, "Father, you have given me these disciples. You have entrusted these men to me." And he recognized that he had responsibility there. And he was telling God, "I know that your glorification happens through my responsibility to the work that you've given me." You know, if we're doing the things that God would have us to do, we glorify God. But if we're not taking part in the responsibility that God gives us, we are not glorifying him. We are making him small. Verse 8. Jesus prays that God would be glorified through his speaking of God's word and not his own. Boy, you know what? That's something that all of us preachers across the whole United States, we all need to keep in mind as much as anyone else. You know, sometimes it's easy when we get to talking that we just want to flow out things that come from me, you know. And as I write these sermons, I try to make sure that I'm telling you what God says. That's important to me. You know, when Paul's telling Timothy to preach the word, you know, part of that instruction there is preach the word. Leave your stuff out of it, you know. And I think real seriously about that. God is glorified through his word. I can get up here and I can tell you all kinds of funny stories that will make you laugh and feel good, but guess what? God's glorified through his word. Romans chapter 1, the power of God is in his word, right? We need to remember that, church. Jesus is praying here and he's telling the Father, "May you be glorified by the fact that I'm repeating your words. I'm not doing it on my own." And that's important for each of us to remember. Got to turn the page. And my hands aren't wanting to turn the page for some reason. Okay, the second thing, all of that, if you notice all of those things that happened there, in the first part of John chapter 17, Jesus was personally praying to the Father about his relationship with the Father. He knew the disciples was listening. He knew that they could gain something out of what he was saying. But then he moves on and he starts talking about the disciples. The second thing that Jesus mentions is, and what I just said is not right. That's in the third point. So can you hold that thought? One other thing that he says before he starts praying for the disciples. He mentions, and you might consider this a part of that, I'm not sure. Jesus mentions in verse 10, he mentions the idea of the disciples glorifying him, Jesus. And I think to myself, you know, Jesus just spent all this time in prayer talking about glorifying God, and he turns around and mentions glorifying himself. And I think, how does this work? What exactly is he talking about? And I think this, you know, that no one comes to the Father except through the Son. And there is no other name under heaven given by which men must be saved other than Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Let me tell you what, Jesus, I think, is wanting us to remember in his prayer to God, he is certainly considering the idea that his glorification glorifies God also. So church, as we exist and have our being in spiritual matters and religion, guess what? As we approach God, we go through Jesus, right? Jesus is the avenue by which salvation happens. That you can't get to God unless you go to the cross, right? And I think God wants us to remember that, and I think certainly that Jesus wanted us to remember that in this point. So now on to talking specifically about the disciples. The third thing that Jesus prayed for is the disciples' spirituality. Verse 11, Jesus prays for God to keep them in his name. And I think, you know, if Jesus was here today, I think that Jesus would be concerned about our spiritual protection, wouldn't he be? He was praying for the disciples' spiritual protection. And you know, I think if he was here today, he would pray for the Cedar Lou Church of Christ. He would pray for every name of every individual here for our spiritual protection. You know why? Because Satan is after us. And sometimes we just get in a groove and we don't take that seriously. We're not reminded of it. And you know what? Jesus wants us to reflect on the importance of spiritual protection that we find in the Father. We should be asking the Father every day, Father, please protect us spiritually. Because Satan can drag us away from our first love. I sit here and I look out through this congregation, and you know how many faces should be here that are not? I don't have enough fingers and toes to count them. You know of them as well. Folks that are just have reached a point in their life and they said, you know what, God, we're going in a different direction. Spiritual protection is important. And we should be praying for God to protect us spiritually. Then Jesus prays in verse 11 also that they may be one as we are one. Did you catch all the "we as one" as talking about God, Jesus talking to God? You and I are one. What's mine is yours and yours is mine. Did you catch all that? Then he turns around in verse 11 and he mentions the idea of unity. Father, may these disciples be unified. And you know, that is not a light statement. And we can gloss over that so fast, and we understand unity is important, don't we all? Anybody? I'm not even going to ask if anybody thinks that's not important. It's important, right? Unity is important, yes. You know why Jesus mentions it? Because we love to fight. Some people just love to argue. They love to batter other people. They love to take their bitterness and grind axes. And you know what Jesus is saying? May they be one. May they love each other. May they care about each other. May they be tender to each other and compassionate with each other. Because you know what? When we are unified, we can glorify. But when we are not unified, you know what happens? We get this big old black eye. Nobody wants to have anything to do with us. Nobody wants to listen to us. When we try to preach the gospel, they say, aren't you just a part of that group over there that just hates each other? Jesus says, Father, May they be unified. Unity is not something that just happens easy, is it, church? It's something we got to ask God. We got to take it to Him because, you know, we can't just unify ourselves. God is a part of that process. We got to remember that. Jesus prays in verse 15 to 18 for their spiritual strength. He says in verse 15, basically, that they not be blended in the world. Father, they live in the world, but they're not of the world. Just as I was in the world, but I'm not in the world. You know what, church? It's easy to be in our lives as human beings and just to blend in. Isn't it easier when somebody's telling a dirty joke at work just to go, ha ha, you know, rather than say something about it? Isn't it easy just to say, well, this is just what everybody expects, let's just do it. So we don't, you know. Isn't it easy just to blend in? But we're not supposed to be unequally yoked with non-believers, right? We're not supposed to blend in. We're not a mixed drink. We're straight up apple juice. Or straight up grape juice or something. God didn't create us to be a blend, a mixture of a bunch of stuff. He created us to be pure in His sight. Jesus prays in verse 18 for their mission. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. If Jesus were here today, I think He'd be praying for our mission. And what is our mission? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. To take the gospel to all the world. And you know, I was thinking about Rose Dobbs was telling me the other day about her Bible study with somebody. And she was so excited. I'm sorry to point you out. You know, when I point people out, I get in trouble sometimes. But I think you're going with me here. She was telling me, she was so excited about this Bible study she was having. And I thought, that is exciting. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be taking the message of God to the community around us. You know, we had this talk about evangelism last Sunday evening, and we all kind of got excited about that, and I took some notes down about different ideas. You know, all that was about our mission, our purpose. And our purpose is to go evangelize the world. Jesus says, Father, as You have sent Me, I have sent them. You see, Jesus is our model. He exemplifies the very thing that we are supposed to be about. I'd like to hear Jesus pray that. I'd just like to hear His voice. Fourth point. Yeah. He prays for the lost. Verse 20. All of those who would believe through their words. Jesus is praying for the lost. And you know, I asked myself this week, and I asked early in the week, so it's changed a little bit. If I just asked myself today, I might have ended up not good all week. But I was asking myself, how many times are you praying for the lost? When I asked myself, it hadn't been a few days, you know. I hadn't been including that. Jesus here says, Father, I want to pray for everybody that the disciples teach. Well, you know what? The disciples taught a bunch of people who through the course of ages ended up to be us, didn't it? Jesus is praying for future Christians. He's praying for lost people. He's praying for all the people in the world that need to be godly. And you know what? We don't include that sometimes, brothers and sisters. It's not only not verbalized in our prayer, it's not in our minds. But good if it is. Some of you might be praying for that every day. All of us maybe ought to get on that page. Jesus was on that page, wasn't He? He cared about the lost. And we should too. Fifth thing, pray that we would be with Him in glory. Jesus declares or desires for His disciples to be where He is. And you know, I back up just a few chapters in the book of John, and I think Jesus states plainly His idea in John 14, verse 2 and 3, where He says, in My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus wants us to be with Him in heaven. He desires that. He says in John 14, I went to prepare a place for you. We're not going to go check into a motel. Heaven's not going to be a motel where we show up and they assign us a room number. It's going to say, Dan on my door. Because Jesus has been there and He's made preparations. He expected me. He wanted me. And so does Jesus expect all of you, want all of you. And He has prayed in advance to the Father for that. That's pretty exciting. Jesus cares about us, doesn't He? Oh boy, I'd sure like to hear Jesus praying that kind of prayer. And finally, that we be filled with God's love, verse 26. That we be filled with God's love. Do you know, as you read through the New Testament, there are some prominent places that talk about love. 1 Corinthians 13, and if you haven't read the book of 1 John lately, jump in and have a feast. Love is on the menu. Jesus prays to the Father that the disciples would be filled with His love. Sometimes our love kind of gets a little selfish, doesn't it? Are you there? Man, I went to a Texas Roadhouse the other day and I loved that prime rib. I did. I was really there. That's personal. That's selfish love. You know, our love sometimes can come from all different angles. And here, Jesus is praying to God that the disciples will be filled with a godly love. A love that's not selfish, but a love that's humble. And a love that's giving. A love that's willing to bend over backwards to help someone. And I think, you know what? I ought to be praying all of these things. I should be praying for myself. All these things that Jesus prayed on the behalf of the disciples and on behalf of Himself, I should be praying for me. Because in all of these things, God is, starts with a G, glorified. And God wants to be glorified in the church, as Ryan read in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. We either glorify God or we don't. And John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, in the last part of that verse it says, if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Oh, that makes me understand that I need God's love. But church, as a matter of urgency, I think we should keep praying. I think we have the opportunity now to take our prayer seminar that we've done and our prayer study that we're working on each week, and we can get complacent with it. We can put it to a side and say, you know, I've got this going on in my life, I'm too busy. I think we need to stay before the Father in prayer. I think we should pray that God be glorified in everything that we do. I think we should pray also that we remember that our path is through Jesus. We should pray for spiritual protection. We should be praying for the lost. We should be praying that we be in heaven with Jesus. And we should be praying that God's love is in our hearts. Did you notice the place in the disciples' prayer that Jesus placed the disciples? It's interesting. He starts off and He's talking about glorifying God. And He ends up talking about God's love. And guess what? The disciples and us are properly found in our place when we are couched between God's glory and God's love. And you know what? Each one of us here today, we are at some point in our life. We are either where God intends us to be, between His glory and His love, Or maybe we're somewhere else. Maybe we're couched between selfishness and desire. Only we can answer these questions in regard to ourselves. But church, I want to encourage you, as the weeks go on, as we study and we think about these things, I want us to understand that Jesus prayed to the Father on our behalf, and we can understand some things through His prayer that we should be praying for ourselves. This morning we have an invitation song. We're doing good on time this morning. So let me just ask you this. Maybe the same as last week. We'll have, I think there's one shepherd here today. He'll be down front. You know, last week when we had our invitation, there were several people that responded and prayed with an elder that nothing ever got said, right? They just wanted a personal prayer time. If you want that this morning, come up and pray with the shepherd. If you don't want it to be publicly announced. If you have something you're wrestling with, though, it just dawned on me that we just don't like to tell our problems. Why not? I tell you my problem, I'm confessing it, right? And then you're going to start working with me on it. I went to a brother in Christ last week and I said, I'm wrestling with this. And specifically, I'll just tell you what it was. I said, you know, I've been wrestling with me spending every waking hour doing church stuff and not spending any time with my family. Now, y'all don't get to, that's not meant to me. Y'all keep calling, I love you, I want to talk to you and all that. But I just said, hey, I need to be aware of that. And this brother who I was talking to, you know what he's done all week? Hey, Dan, what are you doing here? It's Friday night. What are you doing in your office? He's helping me, right? That's what can happen. That's what we do as brothers and sisters in Christ. So don't be afraid of singing an invitation song and coming forward. Oh, what will people think? I might be embarrassed. Oh, hogwash. Just put all that kind of nonsense to the side. If you need help, let the congregation embrace you and love you. Okay? If you need something this morning, would you come as we stand and sing?